Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You're listening to Conversations with ANA. It's Sunday, the 5th of November, 2022. Tonight's topic is, what are you talking about? Who are you talking to? Tonight, Avon will give us tips on learning how to communicate in an effective way that our messages are received and accepted. For those of you who are listening on stream, can call into the show live at 515-605-9322. Once again, to call into live, the show live, to speak to us or ask any questions or give any comments, call into our show live at 515-605-9322. I'm your host. I'm your co-host, Angela, and I have with me tonight our host, Avon. So tonight, once again, our topic for tonight is, what are you talking about? Who are you talking to? Good evening, Avon.
Good evening, Sister Angela. How you be tonight?
I am being fine. I am being fine. I am fine. I'm fantastic. I'm blessed. I'm here. So, yes.
Excellent. Excellent. And I want to say how you be to our listening audience. I want to give a shout out to the Vegas crew. Had a wonderful time, and there was a wonderful connection, and it helped open me up to the topic that we're going to speak on tonight. And again, tonight's topic is, what are you talking about and who are you talking to? Now, I said it that way particularly because a lot of us recognize that tone and how we address each other and how do we speak to the opposite sex and so on and so forth. And we want to pay close attention to how we speak to each other and how to communicate. We want to know how to communicate more effectively than we have been, because we find ourselves in quite a state today. You know, we got a situation where we're not listening to each other. Our children are not listening to us. We're losing control there. As far as relationship between the man and the woman, we're not liking each other too much, according to what we're hearing out here in the media, in the blog talk universe. You know, we got all of these things going on. So we want to get into that and see if we can heal that up and do a little bit better than what we've been doing with that. So before we get started, we want to get synchronized here. So we're going to do our vocabulary so we are on the same page, and we can connect from there. Okay, so communication is the successful conveying or sharing of ideas and feelings, getting information from one party to another. Communication can be defined as the process or act of exchanging, expressing, or conveying information and ideas through writing, speaking, and gesturing. Now, we're going to discuss five elements. There are many elements to communication, but I thought these really hit the mark more for what we're trying to do and to condense it. Okay, some of the five elements are: communication is a two-way process involving the following elements: a sender, a message, a medium, a channel, a receiver, a response, and feedback. It is not sufficient to have just all these elements. There should be cooperation and understanding between the two parties involved. How important is communication? In daily life, communication helps build relationships by allowing us to share our experiences, needs, and helps us to connect with others. And then we have also what's similar to that is relate and relationships. Now, relating is a make or show a connection between things. The relationship is the connection, shows the connection between things. So it takes the same elements that it takes for communication to be in a relationship. So all these things are connected, and we have to learn connections to everything in this life here, because we learn things. Angela and I had a conversation last week, and we were talking about compartmentalization and how things are taught to children. You remember that conversation, Angela?
Yes, I do.
And you remember what you said about it when we were talking about it, when we were talking as relating to education, how we're taught subjects and how it's broken down? You want to repeat what you had said about that at that time, if you remember?
Things, and when it comes to education, in terms of communication, one of the things is how children are taught. And they are taught in terms of communication. They are taught the different subjects, and they don't see how it relates to their everyday life. So they don't get the, you know, we want them to learn, but it's not communicated where they can actually feel a part of it or see it in their everyday life. So, and teachers get frustrated, parents get frustrated because of that. So school, in terms of education, that's one thing I say all the time, about how school lacks that.
Exactly. And you had also mentioned about compartmentalization. You said an interesting thing. You said that you can understand how it relates to education because it simplifies teaching separate subjects, you know, so it's like gives it in smaller bites so that it's easier to understand. And that's how a lot of things, how we're taught in the educational system today, and that is good. But what tends to happen and what we forget is to bring back and show the connection of how all of these things connect and work together. So we're going out here thinking that everything is separate and apart. And if we as adults think of it and see it that way, so what do you think the kids are? So they're saying, all right, you give me science, so what that got to do with my life and going on, or reading or social studies, what does one thing got to do with the other? But when you put it together, because you were saying something about how you was teaching Quran and then how he was seeing connections, you know, how things work together. You have to make it concrete for kids and adults, you know what I'm saying? And then we have to remember adults are only kids grown up. Hopefully they're grown up, but we're basically kids and we go from that foundation and we're supposed to build on that. And I just want to remind everyone that you have to make connections to everything. Anything that I say, you can relate it back to something else that I said before, because all of these things are connected. Now, let's get into some elements of the communications. Now, I gave a definition so that we're all on the same page of what it means, so we can visualize this and work together. Now, I want to go to what are some of the causes of the breakdown of communication, because that's going to show us what's going on today, and then we'll go into how we can work better and, you know, do better with it. Okay, now I have for some of the causes of breakdown in communications are fear. Now, if you remember what we said, fear is an acronym, and the acronym is false evidence appearing real. Now, what are some examples of that? What might that look like to you? Okay, one example is the fear that you don't feel good enough. What do you mean? Well, you know, I don't have, you know, like some of these other people out here, so I'm not feeling too great about myself. I'm working at a job. I'm not making that much money, you know, so I don't see my value or how I can measure up to that. Or then another example is, like you said, in as far as a relationship, man, woman, you feel that there is someone your significant other prefers over you. And then that leads to you're thinking all sorts of things. You get this in your mind, and, you know, it's a place of lack, you know, and no confidence in yourself. And then also, and this connects to another thing that we spoke to, because I'm saying these things, I'm coming up and giving you these things, these examples, but I want to show connection, keep the connection going. Now, also with this fear, this also has the elements of the downfall of man. These are the things that lead to the downfall of man. And to remind you, that was a perverted thought, uncurbed emotions, and destructive acts. Now, using those same examples that I gave you from fear, this is how it's connected to the downfall. Now, if you don't feel good enough, and, you know, you're feeling less than, oh, I don't have this and that, and then you're feeling less than, and if you feel that, just say, again, with your significant other, you have this fear that you never measure up. You're not the person that they want. You're not enough of what they want, and that there's always somebody out there that's better than you, and that will always have your person's, you know, heart and their thoughts in their mind. But guess what that is the perverted thought. That's an example of a perverted thought. Where did you get that from? Where is the truth in that, whatever? Who told you that this was the truth? This is something that's in your mind and you worked up in your head. And then now you got that going. You're focused on that thought there. And then you get emotional about it. Then you get the fear, you get the sad, you get the anger, and it's just building the focus on it. And then in many cases, it drives people crazy. And then when you got that build up there and it's just like you don't know what to do, you're ready to burst, that's when it will lead to a destructive action. You go doing something in your head, you got it in your head, oh no, you're out there and you're fooling around, you're doing this. Then the next thing you know, you're getting into an argument with your significant other. They're looking at you like you're crazy. Said, what are you talking about? And oh no, and I know, and then you really do believe this. This is in your mind. And you got that energy behind it. Then you argue with them. You got one or two things that's happening there. They get tired of you, and then they want to disconnect and get away from you. And so the very thing that you feared and what you believe, you got that. You manifested that because of that constant nagging and haranguing at this person that they get tired of it. Or you get to the point where you're just so out of control and you're so angry and so mad, then you're ready to take a life. That's where these crimes of passion comes in. So you want to get control of that. So that's why it's important to see these connections. All of these things are low vibrational things, and it does not help your cause in what it is that you want to do. Now, the things are, so we got what are some examples of what causes the breakdown of communication. So let's think of some things that to improve it. Now, first, what you want to do is you want to ask yourself, what do you want? Now, let's give it into the example of, we talk about relationships, the romantic relationships. But as we said in the definition before, everything is a relationship. It's how two things come together, how they connect together, whatever. But what is one of the most popular is the relationship with another human being, and in that, because that is the topic of the day with a lot of things in that miscommunication there. So we're going to talk about it, but there are so many things, and that's why we want you to call in at the 515-605-9322 numbers, because we want to hear your thoughts on it, and we want to interact with you and share, and then we can build from that. Now, the first thing, and Angela, I want you to jump in here. Let's talk about it. Let's be about it. Now, my first thing is I say this. What do you want? That is the as simple as that question is, that is one of the most difficult things for people to get to. First of all, you're often running, and what do you want? You need a focus. You need a goal. You got to work towards something. What do you want? in the relationship. Well, what is it that you're expecting to come out of this? So you have to communicate that. You have to relate to somebody. You want to make that connection to somebody. So you're putting something out there. And then the next thing is, so, and what are you trying to do? I'm going to put the questions out here, and then we're going to go back into it. What are you trying to do? How do you plan to do it? And then we're going to stop there, and then we're going to go into deeper. So, Angela, do you have any thoughts on any of the things that I said now, or, you know,
I know somebody texted me and asked me a question. I mean, okay. They on the chat. What are the love languages? You know, because people talk about those love languages. What would you say the love languages are?
The love language, first of all, is what between two people, and it's different one with everybody. Now, what your love language is, you may be verbal. You need to hear somebody tell you, I love you. I care for you. You're the best that there is, whatever. You need to hear it, you know, in an audient way. Then you have those that they show you how they love you, you know. Okay, they take care in to provide you and present you with the things that you like because they're paying attention to it. Oh, they show it with flowers or buying nice things and what have you, taking you to nice places. Sometimes, what's another example of it? The touching. They got to be close to you, up on you. They want to hug you, to touch you, and just to be near you and to feel that energy. You know, those are some ways. Do you have some more? There's plenty, but right now it's slipping my mind. But the thing is, what I'm going to say this, and then I want you to give your thoughts on it. But the thing is, no matter what the language is, first of all, when two people come together, this is what's going on in that courtship time, whatever, when you say you want to vet and you're getting to know this person, you need to listen and pay attention. And then you recognize these signs, whatever, and you will pick up and understand what it is. Sometimes you can come right out and say it. But the thing is, you want to have these things evolve and for you to unveil these things for yourself and to find it out for yourself through time. And then the thing is, then you, once you recognize theirs, before you recognize somebody else's, you need to know yours. And then once you recognize that, then that's when you ask yourself the question. So what is it do you want? What's the ultimate goal of what you want? The thing is, these are love languages, and this is how, remember, listen to what we're saying here. This is how people express their love. It didn't say that they have to express it the same way that you do. But if you recognize that this is their love language, then the thing is it compatible to you? And the thing is, if you, I'm just saying, because, you know, as I speak, it's just more things evolve in my head. The thing is, does it matter? Should, because that language is different from yours, should that be is that a problem? And apparently, in many a situation, it is. It is a problem because people don't recognize it. Because if you're not expressing it the way that I do, then I don't see that you love me. I don't think or feel that you love me. And that's a problem. That's the breakdown right there as well. Is the bigger question is, you want to be loved. And do you want to know if that person loves you? And if you know their love language, then you should be able to discern that. You would be able to discern that. What do you think about that? Just that part right there. What do you say?
But you should be able to discern a love language.
Where we're talking about the different love languages. The
like you always say, if you tap. Mm-hmm.
No. I want you to. No, I was just saying that that was the focus. That was the question that was asked us. What the question was, what are the different love languages? I had mentioned a few. I couldn't think of all of them off the top of my head. First, do you remember some of the other love languages? Other than
You just said it. You basically said it is basically what a person, love languages is what a person, what that particular person is looking for, you know. It could be through, like you said, touch, feel, connection. Somebody might feel in a relationship that they feel disconnected. They need more connection. They need more touching. You know, a lot of times women say, well, you don't hold me. You know, a lot of women, they look for foreplay. That could be their love language. You understand? I was talking about relationships recently with a young woman, and she said she don't care how much a man, you know, makes. She's not after his money, but when it comes to, she can, you know, she don't need no man to help her with her hair, her nails, stuff like that. But when it comes to trips, she would want him to take her on trips, you know, at least twice a year. You know, she would like that. That was her love language. So it depends on the person. Yeah.
You had dropped out.
That's what I was saying.
Okay.
Yeah, so it depends on the person, you know. Trust is one of them, you know, so it depends on the person. And we just got to listen to that, you know, to our mates or to each other, period.
Exactly. Do you think, because I see this and it's hurtful to see, do you think that because people get caught up in the love language that is not like theirs, that that causes a lot of problems in a relationship? And should it, can, should we just, how do I want to phrase this? Well, I'll ask you and I'll say what I think. People, because the language is different, does the language need to be the same, do you feel, in order for the relationship to work?
You could have people that speak that have a language barrier. Let's say you know Spanish, you know, and I know English, and this is just regular relationships, but you can feel a connection.
Right.
You know, you feel you pick up. You could feel a connection because communication is not just about verbal. It's other forms of communication. It's physical. There's auditorial. There's emotional. There's energetic communication. Mm-hmm. There's vibing, you know, a connection that you get from people. You know, you heard of situations where two people met and they just knew that they was each other's mate. Now, contrary to what's acceptable, you should, you know, you meet a guy, you should wait, 6 months to get engaged, to a year or whatever, and don't get married immediately. Because you got to learn that person. But you had good stories of people, successful stories of people marrying each other. Like, they just knew. You know, they didn't need to go through the court team and, you know, and all of that. They just knew that was their partner for life, okay? So it's not just about verbal. It's about a deeper connection. And I believe that a lot of times, like you always say, a lot of people are not tapped in, so they don't get that. You know, if you tapped in and, you know, when your soulmate or this special person come, you kind of feel it. And even if they not what they say is your soulmate, you kind of can feel that connection with a person. Sometimes we ignore that. You know, so it's not just about what you say because, like women, you know, we do this a lot. Oh, he don't bring me flowers no more, but he show you other forms of communicating. You know, he might, you know, don't bring you flowers no more, but he might buy you a expensive bag or a coat, you know. But you might say, oh, the flowers, you know what I'm saying? But he's showing his love language by you know, buying you stuff. Some men who, or some people who in relationship, they might don't have financial means, but they might cook or they might do something romantic or they, so the language doesn't have to be verbal. It could be physical. It could be emotional. It could be energetically, you know, it's different levels of communication.
Correct. Cause you know, you said something there and what I feel what happens a lot of times is we get a lot of interference. Like we miss the signs. We have it there and we know we have that connection, but we listen to too much outside noise. You know what I'm saying? You're listening to the different media, the radio, through the music, the different social media and stuff. And then you listen, you got your girl in your ear, you got your boy in your ear, and then they're talking their stuff or whatever. And I think that interference causes a disconnect. You know what I'm saying? Because I think the initial attraction is there, and you already know it. But then because you're judging things by all of this outside stuff, outside sources, that we kind of lose that. And then you know what? We may have felt real good about a situation, but because of somebody else's experiences, whatever, it kind of influences us and pull us away. You know what I'm saying? Oh, well, girl, well, if you don't
well,
buy
that
you,
happens.
Yeah, please
that
talk.
Happens
go ahead.
Because a lot of times we haven't had a lot of successes in our life, so we don't trust ourselves. But as you start to trust yourself, as you start to go through your own experiences, whether good or bad, and you start learning yourself, then you will take chances more with yourself than others. You will say, you know what, I could be wrong. You know, no relationship is promising. You can get a new job and you and your boys hit it off, and then all of a sudden, y'all don't. So the thing is that people don't trust themselves, so that's why they listen to outside interferences. You know, if you begin to trust yourself, because the more, you know, you do and the more successful you become and you realize that, look, I'm on the right track, and you see that others, you influence others with that information and knowledge and wisdom, then you become more savvy with it. You understand? So it's not only, also, too, it's not just about what you feel. You know, a lot of times, even with me being a life coach, you know, they taught us that when someone's talking to you about what their experiences are, you don't downplay that, because they that's true to them. It don't matter if it's not true to you. See, this is another thing. You know, we try to downplay each other's experiences. So if I come to you and I say, you know what, my two goldfishes died, and it really affected me, right? You might say, they only goldfishes, just put them in a, you know, flush them down a toilet, not knowing that why it affected me like that, why it triggered me, because now it might be some underlying issues that I'm going through. So we immediately, you know, jump to the conclusions when we're communicating with people, when we're talking to people, you know, and that causes a lot. That's where most of the problems come from, because we downplay each other's feelings and emotions, and we don't know, and we sometimes we don't get to know a person, and we might be, you know, me and my mother-in-law were speaking about this today, that you know, you can be around a person, right, and you're not really paying attention to what they like. You know, like, they've been doing this, you could be around them for 20 years and you just found out, oh, you like your coffee with you know, light, and you're like, yeah, for 20 years. You understand? It's like, where the hell have you been? You can, stuff like that can get the other person. Like, I have the same coffee every day. So, and I was doing that with her. Me and her talk about that. Like, she likes her coffee with, she likes her coffee brown, like paper bag. So now, instead of me just trying to remember, I just go, okay, let me go get her coffee. No sugar, paper bag, cream. You know, that's it. You know, so it was funny because she's like, you know, I used to always ask her, how you like your horse? How do you like your horse? She said the same way for all this time. How long you knew me? So it's the same thing over and over. And you know what? Another thing that I learned this through, I didn't learn it, but I had more patience through homeschooling my son because he's different than my daughter when I was homeschooling her. It's called observations in the classroom, right? So what teachers would do, they would observe each child. And then they would write notes. You know, it's called observation notes. Then they would come up with solutions, right, of what this person, what triggers the kid, how this kid responds, how they act, what to do, what not to do, right? And then you come up with a plan to interact with that or to relate to the child, you know, or come up with solutions, right? So it's called observation. So what I had to do, I had to come with that at home because my son, he got a lot of, you know, tricks and stuff. So I had to come up with a lot. But one thing I remembered, one thing I learned is that it was nothing new he was doing. So at first he kept doing the same thing, but it seemed like it was something new. Like, oh, my God, how he keep coming up with these tricks? And, you know, every time I try to, you know, tell him to do it this way, he won't. But it wasn't even him. He was being who he is. He was being true to, you know, what he was doing. What changed was me. Like, I said, okay, he keeps doing the same thing over and over again. So I came up with a plan to counteract, right, everything that he was doing. And guess what? So it's like maybe once a month he come up with something new, but it's the same thing he was doing over and over. Why I'm saying this, it's the same thing. Your boss, your mate, your teacher, your mother, your father, those you live with, every round around you have a pattern. They have a pattern. It's not they, but it is. And I know it gets frustrating sometimes because you communicating with them, you're like, stop doing that, stop doing, and they won't stop, right? So you're like, they just keep on. They're trying to annoy me, but the patterns that they have come from other things. So if they stop this pattern in their mind, it hinders the rest of the things that they got going on in life, in their life. But you don't know that, and sometimes they don't know how to communicate that to you or to themselves. So that causes a big problem. But most people have patterns. You know what they're going to do. You know, one of my patterns is, oh, she's always late, and, you know, so guess what? You know, people that know me playing around that. You know, they might, you know, if I'm going out with my friends and they know I'm always running late, they're like, oh, just get her a drink. She's going to have chicken. Or they might text me, what you eating? And then I'll tell them what I'm eating or whatever. And they already have it ready because they know instead of them getting mad, and yes, I should have more consideration or whatever, but, they, you know, and I should, right? But until I do, or if you really love a person, you deal with some of their pros and cons in their life to accommodate them or just because you love them, you know, so because none of us is perfect. So, you know, you got to choose your battles wisely. So a lot of times we choose these battles that we can actually, we have the power to counteract, to resolve, to improvise with, you know. So like I was saying, my son came up, I have a whole list of observations. So when I spoke to his teacher, his homeschool, you know, teacher that's going to come out to do the homeschooling, her part, she was amazed. She was like, oh, you did observations, you know? So, yeah, because that's what teachers are supposed to do, okay? And it's a pattern. So the communication, it's a lot with communication. It's just not, oh, just opening your mouth, saying what you want to say. It's an art, you know? Art of communication. Exactly. It's an art. And once the quicker we learn it, the quicker, and it's very important because words, communication can, the wrong communication can start wars. Okay.
Absolutely.
Margaret Atwood once says, Margaret Atwood, she's a author, she's a poet, sort of, right? She said, war is what happens when language fails. War is okay. So,
like,
you know,
this.
We see that all the time. Okay? We see that all the time when language fails between each other, between two people. And I have done it plenty of times. You know, you said, but that's why sometimes they said texting, right? When we text each other and you could type the wrong word by mistake and it's like, what did you say? And you know, and then if you text in capitals, that could mean like you got beef with the other person, right? But suppose you just don't want to, you know, you don't know how to really work your phone, or you got a new phone and you just like, forget it. Let me just type in capital. Let me get the message out. That other person don't know what you're thinking. right? But that's a form of communication, right? The written word is a form of communication. So you want to always get to know a person or ask why. You know, you and I have a mutual friend, Rob, and one of the things he was teaching someone else, he says, he asks, why are you telling me this? Like when somebody comes to you and they're telling you certain things, and you're like, why are you telling me this? You know how some people come to you and they might say something that that make you offensive. They might say something to you that you don't like, you know, and you're like, okay, why are you coming to me like that? You know, why are you telling me this? You know, you ever had somebody bring you some news? But what's the purpose? See, that's another thing. What is the purpose of you communicating that information to me? So it's all kinds of things that how we get, you know, it could communication could be deadly if you're not done right. It could be deadly. It could be, you know, it could cause problems, but it also could build you up. It also could motivate you. It also could, you know, could get you, you know, make you happy. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of things that it could do.
Absolutely. And you know what you said? You said a mouthful. You said a whole lot of things there. And you talk about mitigating and diminishing somebody's thought. Communication is a whole body experience. It's in everything. It's energy, it's frequency, and all this. And you have to understand that and tap into that. And what is the tapping in? That's liken it to a radio station, depending on what it is that you want to listen to. Now, I want to get the information, or I want to get the songs or feel a certain way by listening to BLS. Now, if I'm tuning in to 98.7, I'm not going to get what I need. So I have to dial in to the frequency of BLS so I can receive what I need to receive from BLS. And that's how you tap in, and then you want to, you know, tune in. You know, you tune in and dial in so that you can get directly what it is that you want. And diminishing, now remember, we're saying the different elements of the communication is the sender, the message, the medium, the channel, the receiver, and the response and feedback. Now, the medium is like, or the channel is like you say, it can be anything. It can be through texting. It can be through nonverbal communication, whatever. It can be anything. But it's about frequencies and tapping into that. Now, one of the things where we have the problem and the breakdown is when we, as a receiver, we our response and our feedback is going to be off, because if we didn't receive the message correctly, because the two people have to be in agreement and working together, and that agreement is I'm open to receive and to listen to what it is that you're saying. I may not have to agree with it, but I am at least at this point, I'm open to hearing what you have to say. So you have to have that agreement there. And a good example is like when we see the women have the problem with the men. Now, where the women have that miscommunication is, you know, what they think that a man feels and what he wants and how they should go about it and how they should handle it. The thing is, no. Why don't you ask the man, or ask a man what it is that a man thinks and what they want? And what women do, they become insistent. And this is where we're not in agreement with each other. We're not agreeing to be open and to understand. We got it fixed in our mind, and it's already set, because our girls have said this, and we done had a conversation, and we spoke about it, and we know what it is that what we want and what they should be doing, whatever, and how they feel. No, that's how you feel about it and what you think is going by your experiences. But you cannot know what another person is thinking until you ask them. And we have that problem where we don't ask the source. We're telling them what it is that they're doing. And that's what you were talking about, diminishing how somebody feels. You diminished it so much, you cut them out the equation. You done had a whole conversation in your head about what it is that they're doing and what they're thinking, and they're looking at you like you are crazy. What are you talking about? And we've had heard that conversation, and those are the very words that were used to us. What are you talking about? And as the other miscommunication, if you have it in your mind, let's look at it this way. And you know, you feel in some type of way about something, and it's just locked in your mind, and you done have this whole scenario worked out in your head, and this is what happened, and oh my God, and how could they do this? So you in this, and then somebody, that person, they say something to you, and then you ready to go off, AWFF, off on this person, and tell them about themselves, and who the heck you think you are, and blah, blah, this, and blah, blah, this, and then they look at you and say, what are you talking about? What, well, you said, look, I've had it happen to me. And I felt real small. It's like, I did not say that. And then the thing with communication, when you're taking it all in and you're looking at the person, I saw that person's face crumple up. And it's like they kind of shrunk. And I just felt like, what did I just do here? I was not being a good receiver. I wasn't paying attention to the clues and the signs because I had worked it up in my mind. See, I had a perverted thought because my mind was on something else, and it was this, and then I just, those emotions got worked up. How dare you say this, and who the bop, bop, bop you think you are talking to me and telling me like this? Or I'm ready to go. I'm going in, and I want to tear you down. I want to destroy you now. And then they say something, because my mind was already in that space, so I heard something completely different. And I looked at them, and I knew it wasn't something like somebody backpedaling now because they knew I was getting upset. I saw that I was wrong. I was off. So the thing is, you have to be careful and stop. You have to listen with everything, not listening for the chance that you can get in and put your bid in and put your thoughts in, whatever, but you didn't hear what they said. You just want to be right and make sure you get your stuff off. That is not good communication. You have to listen. And then that's a lot of things that men feel that they're not being heard. Now, they're out here, you know, you go through life and getting beat up on and so forth and all this going on, and then to come home and get this, you're feeling a sort of way. And so as you're coming home to be healed, you're coming home for healing and nurturing. So you don't want to hear somebody rah, 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 rah in your ear and carrying on whatever. You want to have this conversation. And my thing is women. And look, let's be very clear. So I'm just giving you an example from what we hear men saying. Look, it's not one-sided. It goes both ways. If Angela, you can come up when you chime in from some of the things that the women say, but I'm saying this to everyone. It doesn't matter who. That's back to the question, what it is that you want, and then what are you trying to accomplish? The thing is, you're sitting here, you're saying that you love this person. You want to be in love with this person. So why are you doing everything opposite that you will not get what it is that you're trying to do? I just got worked up and I kind of lost my thought there, but we have to listen and we have to connect. That's what communication is, that you have the success, that you're sharing a message with somebody, you're putting it out there, and then you're opening up yourself and sharing with this person, and then you hope that what the agreement is and that you're comfortable enough and you're open enough that they will share back with you on the same level. And the thing is, the purpose is, are you trying to get together or not? And why would there be a problem if this is somebody that you love, that you want to do nice things for them?
It's easier said than done. You know, in certain
what part?
A lot. Just saying that. Before I go on into that, I just wanted to let those who are listening streaming, listening to this radio show, you can call in. If you have any questions or comments, the number is 515-605-9322. 515-605-9322. What I was saying is that it seems like, oh, just communicate and then everything will be fine. But there's more than with communication than as of now than what it was years ago. Before we had clairvoyance, you know, because we were more tapped in. What's that, telekinesis, right? We had that, right? Mm-hmm. So we didn't need all these words, or we just knew. We intuitively knew what the other was thinking. You know, before, what, the three wise men had the stars, right? Now you have to have weather men, to, you know, all this technology, right? But before we had all these other things that was going on. We didn't have as much influences on our communication, but we had to rely on natural resources, which is our mind, which is our spirit, you know, which is the stars. Remember, they found Jesus, through what, the stars, right? Which way is the stars? You know, we was like our own human compass. So there's a lot that goes on. So if you're in a relationship, right, and you know who mentioned this? The men are for Mars. Men are for Mars and women are for Venus, John Gray. He mentioned how that, and I read that a long time ago. I remember him mentioning that even food affects how you think. So it's not like, are you purposely hurting someone? So if you have a recovering addict and you met him 30 years ago, you know, but he's with us at a place where he didn't have too much tension in his life. He was living a good life. But then you come in his life, and now you got all this drama, and he starts to get those triggers, where he might don't use the drugs, but he might start acting those behaviors out. So you're like, what the hell is wrong with him? You know, why is it that he don't use drugs no more, but he's acting, you know, like one time, like, what's his name? This guy, he was a comedian, and he said that Whitney Houston, he said, I'm not saying she's a crackhead, but she got crackish, you know, she got crackish ways, crackish ways, you know? So, so he used to make a joke, like he was saying, like, I'm not saying that she's a crackhead, but she got crackhead ways, in other words, right? So you might, you know, they might have these triggers. It could come from food, it could come from a sickness, it could come from, and a lot of times for us, the way we are in relationships, it could be in our hormones, our brain chemistry, you know, what we eat. All of that can affect our nutrition, our weight. All of that can affect relationships. So you might say, well, Dad, all of that, yes. Because if you eat in foods that's bad for your body, that takes a toll on your whole system. So your brain is clogged. Your brain is clogged. And think about it, that's why, you know, anybody go to a holistic doctor, they'll tell you, you know, especially for breastfeeding mothers, what to put, take your supplements, take your vitamins, right? Because it not only helps you, it helps with the people that's around you, postpartum. What you going to tell a person that's suffering from postpartum? You're going to tell her that she's wrong for cursing and screaming at her husband? That's hormonal. You understand? So how does she manage that? But she might not know that, but that could be an effect. So it's not just what you say verbally, right? It's a whole different, it's on different levels of how we are communicating. And I don't think people intentionally mean to hurt their mates. I don't think so. I think that we really want to work it out. We really want loving relationships with our bosses, with our children, with our families and friends, right? We really want that, but it's a number of factors. Some people with their children, they're not disciplinary parents because they don't want their kids to hate them. You know, they don't want to go. They're scared to take that stance. You got relationships that, you know, that men don't want to say something to their wives, like, yo, babe, you gain weight, and they don't know how to communicate that in a way that may not hurt her feelings. You know, some women, they might say they don't, you know, they might be unhappy even though their husband pay all the bills, but they're unhappy because he's not giving them emotional support. They don't want to say anything because he's paying all the bills. So they, in their minds, like, what can I say? So it's not that we don't care about each other, but we don't take enough time to learn how to communicate. That's not taught really in school. You know, you got communication classes or whatever, or, you know, if you're a psychologist, you know how to do that, or you take some type of course or training. Yeah, but that's not an everyday thing that people know how to do. You know, they don't know how. And communication also comes with conflict management, you know, resolutions, and, you know, and being able, like, somebody asks you, and we're going to go into that. Somebody asks you how to communicate with a disgruntled boss. You know, mm-hmm. you have a job. What, you going to just leave the job because you don't like how your boss communicates with you? That's impossible. So that's one thing. And we, you know, you can answer that in a few minutes. I'm just going to wrap it up. But what I found out, even for me, I was lazy. I didn't want to put the effort in to learning or finding ways to resolve issues. I was lazy, and I can say that with my younger son, homeschooling him. You know, I was always comparing him with my daughter. She was easy peasy. You know, they have a course that's named that, homeschool course, easy peasy. My daughter was like easy peasy. She was easy to homeschool. But I come up with a challenge with my son, and now it's like, oh, boy, what's it? You know, so I had to stop, and I had to, you know, put some more effort. I had to put effort. You know, you got to put effort. Some relationships, some men are high value, I mean, high maintenance. Some women are high maintenance, so you have to put more effort into them. Some people are really easy to please, and then there's others hard to please. Depends on what you want, but I don't think that we don't love each other. It's just, it seems like that because we are, it's not that we don't love it. I think it's a number of things, including laziness. You know, we don't want to put that effort in, you know. So you can finish. My mind is all over.
I know. You go there. But you're absolutely right. No, and I agree. It's not that we do love each other. That's why we're so upset. If we weren't and we didn't care, it wouldn't make a difference. Oh, well, on to the next thing and let's go. But we do care. That's what it is. And the thing is, you're right. Once upon a time, through telepathy, you know, all of this is about energy and frequencies. And we could read that. We were more evolved at a time. And then we have devolved. Yes, we have. And this is what we see now. And it's not through all faults of our own. We had assistance. Yes, indeed, we did. But then the thing is, it comes to the point where you have to take control over you. You know what's going on. Like when we were younger and children with our parents, we couldn't wait to get from under the parents' rule and be our own person, what have you. But the thing is, or we complained, or we didn't like what this happened, and, you know, this, and we complained, this and that. But guess what? That's when that time comes when you, that magic threshold that you cross over and you become adult. Then you take over. Then you have to take over. You didn't like what happened before you, all the things that happened, but now that you're an adult, it's up to you to change your existence and how you relate to the outside world, to other people and what have you, in all your relationships. Everything is a relationship. So that is on you. And then you said a key thing. You're right. You said you got lazy. Guess what? I got lazy, and a lot of people out here got lazy too. You, first of all, you got conditioning and you lulled into a sleep, and then you're just taking on things and not discerning what the heck is going on here. And then things are going down into that subconscious mind, and then it's playing itself out. And then you're reacting and doing things, and it's like, where did this come from? And this is what we discussed before. In everything, you're always going to have to do a self-assessment. You got to check in with yourself. Never mind you talk about relating to somebody else. We don't even know how to relate to ourselves. And that's what we keep talking about, that self-work. You got to do that self-work. Who is going to do it for you? See, we get upset because, listen, that finger goes pointing out. You, man, you're supposed to take care of me. You're supposed to provide. You're supposed to protect. And this and this and I should have this and that. And then the man, you're supposed to be in the house. You're supposed to be looking out for me. Blah, 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 blah. All this stuff. But the thing is, we didn't get the correct training or got away from it. We might have gotten it. We didn't receive it. It didn't go down deep enough or whatever. But the thing is, the self-work. How do you relate to yourself? You don't even know your connection to yourself.
But you know what? You and I always come to that. You and I always talk about the self-worth. The first thing is, your self-worth starts with relationships around you. You know, I told my daughter and my son, how siblings rival, you know, siblings, they go through things, they fight each other. And I said, she is who you're going to see in the world, and he is who you're going to see in the world. Like, it starts with, you can work on yourself, right? And this is what I tell women. You can work on yourself, right? But suppose you get into, now you're in a relationship, right? So you worked on yourself. You did all this work. But you don't know if it's going to work until you get in a relationship with someone else, because now it's not just you. See, you could chill by yourself. You know, I'm the only child. I know about that.
Mm-hmm.
But people have pointed out to me that as the only child, I have, like, selfish ways. And I know that, because it's just me all the time. You know, mm-hmm. Some of the stories I hear, how people – I heard stories from back in the day, like, you know, families, siblings had to share each other milk for cereal. They didn't have enough food. So they had to share each other milk. Or they didn't have a lot of food on the table. Okay? So I didn't experience that. Sure, I worked on myself. So if I get with a mate that's frugal, I might not understand that. You know what I'm saying? But they've been through a whole different, they have triggers that's different from my triggers. They have a whole different personality set. So now it comes to, not just because you didn't work on yourself, is what do you want? Are you willing to compromise? Because relationships, regardless of what you have a boss or not, because people will say something in a relationship, oh, I ain't going to do this, I ain't do that. But then they go to their boss. You know, and then now all that, what they said they wouldn't do, is out the door. Look at just what happened. I don't know the whole story, and I'm not going to quote. I'm just going to just go by a little bit. Kyrie Irving said something about that book, and I want to get that book, about Black Hebrews or something like that. Sorry to be quoting it wrong. But from Hebrews to Negroes, Hebrews to Negroes, that's what it is, right? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
From Hebrews to Negroes, I think it's that. So any caller that want to call in and correct me, I don't have a problem with that. But I think it's like something like that, right? So he said something, right? They got on him. I don't know the whole story because it's just, you know, I didn't have time to, you know, to look it up. He apologized. Okay. So he might felt some type of way about it, right? But he apologized because who knows? He got endorsements taken away, right? So it's the motivation behind what you do too. Now I heard he made an apology, right? Now that's not something that he came up with. That is a real book, Hebrews to Niggers, Niggers. I think it's niggers or negroes. Something
the
like
N-word.
It's not nigger, it's negro.
It's the N-word.
Negro.
One
it's not nigger.
Of the N-word.
No, it's not nigger.
Mm-hmm.
It's Hebrews to Negroes. You could Negroes, right? So he didn't make that up. Okay. They got a lot of books on Hebrew, Black Hebrews, the Black Hebrew Awakening, right? They got that book. Enslavement of the Israelites. They're talking about black slaves, right? Who are the Hebrew Israelites? But because a certain group of people got mad, and they said something to him, must have pulled him aside and said, "Listen, you're gonna lose all your documents. You're gonna get kicked." All because what? He worked on himself. Obviously, he's in the NBA, right? That's top. How many men you know that's in an NBA? Right? So that's a great accomplishment to get that far, right? So he worked on himself. But guess what? Now you have bosses. You have somebody that you have to, that's paying you. You have a teammate, your teammate. So it just don't just be about you just working on yourself. Now you got to take what you worked on yourself, which is true. That should always be the plan. And now you got to work with others. Because even though you might have your own ideology, people compromise their ideologies all the time, whether it's for money, to take care of their family. You know, you see it in the movies. You know, a guy had to do something unethical because they was going to kill his kids or his wife. Okay? So all that stuff that he worked on goes out the window. Now he's a criminal because there he has to participate in something, not that he wanted to. I mean, he had a choice. He could have said, okay, forget it. I'll let my kids die, my wife die. They didn't choose that, right? So now they have to come up with a choice of, and 9 times out of 10, in the movies, they choose to save their family, even if they have to do something unethical. And this is what happens, same thing. And I believe Kyrie Irving was faced with that. And he apologized, right, to the Jewish community for whatever he said about the book. I haven't heard it, so don't quote me, but I know it was about in reference to that book. It is a book.
Yeah.
And guess what?
He didn't say anything. You know that?
See what I'm saying?
He just posted it.
I didn't even see. That's even worse. And then on top of that, they're not going to take the books down from Jeff Bezos. They're not going to call Jeff Bezos and be like, oh, you selling these books. You know how many books on Amazon talks about the black Hebrews, okay, and slavery and all this other stuff? So and medical apartheid, you know, that and talks about Jews, about what Jews did to black people and all of this and how they stole their nationality, all that, right? But they're not going to say that. They're not going to call Jeff Bezos. Did anyone call Jeff Bezos? I didn't hear it. And say, listen, take them books down. But Kyrie Irving? Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
now, hold on. You say that. I want you to stay there. Stay there. So, and yeah, we're gonna slow walk around this. We're gonna be careful. The thing is, all right. We saw that, and the thing is, you said a lot of things there. He did. Oh gosh. With the similarities there, it's like, okay, we just did this with Kanye, and then now we have Kyrie. The thing is, okay, and then, like I said, there's a whole lot that's going on here. And you're right. First of all, let me backtrack even a little bit more. I concede you're right. You all always, just because we're in it now and you have the relationships, because when you come into the world, you have that relationship with your parents, whatever, and so on, and it's other people other than yourself. Then this mission, part of this mission is to do that self-work. So you're right, okay? We start off with relating to other people, but then the most important part is getting that self-work. Yes, a lot of, but we need to get it. And the thing is, yeah, we're in relationships now, so what, you can't walk away from it, whatever, so you got to figure this out and work it out. Got that? I agree with you 100%. Now, where the thing with the Kyrie and whatever, you know, this is in the important part of, I will say this, the important part of doing that self-work is knowing who you are, understanding your history and what's going on here. The thing is, Kyrie and Kanye, they know something. They know something. What they're saying, they ain't lying about what it is that they're saying, but somebody is feeling a way about what it is that they're saying. They ain't saying nothing wrong. They didn't say anything against anybody. They're just saying, Kyrie said, hey, I'm doing the work on me. I'm studying. I'm learning. I'm understanding. I'm going to put up, this is something, my people, look, something that y'all might be interested in looking. He didn't say nothing, no thoughts. I didn't think he gave a comment or whatever. He just posted the book and whatever. And then, like you said, then a folk come to tell, oh, because they feel a type of way. They're going to try to tear him down. But the thing is, who are these people? And knowing the history and understanding what's going on, because while I was looking at that and was listening to different people about Kanye or whatever, I saw Farrakhan, he spoke. So Kanye, don't you apologize. You don't have to apologize. You don't need to. But yes, the understanding with money and what have you. But it's going to come. It's coming a time. It's not coming a time. That time is here. And you're going to have to make a stand. It's not easy. Look, everybody got things tied, whatever. These are personal decisions that you have to make. You got to connect to your higher source, your higher, whatever you call it, that higher self, higher connection, and you got to, you really got to tap in and see and get your connection and get your marching orders and understand what's going on now. Because
but the thing is that you don't know if you tap in until you face with those crucial decisions. Like, you could think you working on yourself, right? Because don't women do this all the time? I'm working on myself, this relationship, right? But I need to know more. Who was this person you were talking to? Do you know their family? Do you know, you know? So if you can work on yourself all you want, and you should, because that should be an ongoing process. So if you didn't say, I'm not going to seek a relationship because I'm working on myself.
No, you would die.
You need to die by yourself. And like, wait, let me finish. And like Kevin Samuels said, you need to die by yourself and get a dog. Because no matter what, you should always be an observation of yourself. Like I was saying about Quran and how the teachers use that language in terms of observing a child. They have classroom observation. You should always, that should be an ongoing process for you doing the self-work and all of that. But you don't know whether you're going to pass that test until it's actually in your face. Okay, so those, you know, and I heard people say, oh, Kyrie Irving shouldn't apologize. But when you have money and you have family and you have money on the line, who to say that they wouldn't do that? See, it's easy for people to say that. And this is with any situation. Like, you know, somebody asked me, just to ask you, what about you in a marriage, 20, 30-year marriage, and your husband is doing the same thing? What, do you just jump up and leave?
No,
but there's certain things that you need in a marriage. You understand? What do you do in certain situations like that? So do you, you know, like, what do you do? Do you just say, you know, because I'm tapped in, like, you know, I'm adios, because I know what I want. But it's, you might know what you want, and most people, I believe, do. But they don't know how to get it from the other person, or they feel they need that. Sometimes it's not that you need something from that person, and you might need just cooperation for that person to make your life go easier. Say, for instance, if you want to be a singer, but your husband or your mate don't want you to be a singer, and they make your life and they sabotage that, that can be a hindrance. And you might just came up like, oh, this is my life purpose now. You might have gotten an epiphany. So now your partner's like, you ain't been doing this. And we spoke about that before. Like, you might decide that, oh, let me do. You know, when I did a 20-day juice fast, and people thought I was losing my mind. It was like, you're going to die, or, you know, oh, my God, you got to eat. Because they never seen me do it. So now if I say I'm doing a fast, they're like, oh, you want me to bring you some fruits and vegetables? Okay? So you got to take a stand on it. But it comes, the reluctance comes from a couple of things. Have you been doing it before? Or you just, as you on a journey of tapping in and learning yourself and knowing who you are, you're going to be evolved. What you might like yesterday, you might not like today. And that's understandable. But the thing is, if you're in a relationship, that other person should be warned. That other person should know that. It's not something that you just put on. Like someone said, suppose you're growing and you're in a relationship now that you started out on with a person and they're not growing. What do you do? Do you leave them? Like, so that's a question for you. What do you do if you're in a relationship with a person, a long-term relationship with a person, but you have grown and they haven't? What do you do?
Okay. What do you do? Okay. Back it up a little bit. First of all, what you said before, these two things, working on self and already being in relationships, whatever, they're not mutually exclusive of each other. You got to do both. That's the thing. We either do one too much of this, too much. That's where there's an imbalance. It's both of those things you have to do together. Now, in a long-term relationship, what's going to happen? You said it yourself. One person evolves and grows. So then if you're evolving, then there are certain things that you see. So what you started out before, so basically you're going to have to go back to the table with this person, and you're going to have to communicate. You're going to have to work and have some sort of communication. The thing is the agreement. Okay, we're here to talk. We're here. We're a team. We're partners here. We're working together. So we got to talk about what's going on here and figure out a way how we're going to make this work or not. But we agree that we're going to sit down and we're going to be open to listen and hear all the sides, whatever, and then we're going to work out and come to some conclusion that is mutually beneficial for the both of us. Now you say, then we're saying things here, but do you understand what you're saying? You have evolved. So that means you're in a higher place. There's a higher understanding from where you were before. So with this higher understanding, there comes some new tools, and there's a different way that you are perceiving. You're perceiving at a much higher rate, so that you're going to get answers and you're going to move differently. So you got to understand you have the tools. You always had the tools, but now
who's to say your partner agreed that you evolved?
All your partners, what I said. You have to agree that we're going to sit down and discuss this. Didn't say that they have to agree with you in the end, or they're going to be at the same place that you are. Did not say that. The agreement was we're going to sit down as grown adults, somewhat evolved human beings, and we're going to hash this out. This is because we get into relationships and we're not, like you said, you're right. We weren't properly trained on how to be in a relationship. You come together, there are things, we discussed this before too, have core values. You need to know these things. You need to know it for yourself, and you need to know it. And then when you're coming together with somebody, this is what that dating period, that courting period is, to hash these things, to figure these things out, to talk, to see what's going on. To see, we like to bypass a whole lot of steps and just jump into it because he's cute, he's fine, he got this, she got this, she got a big this, and so on and so forth. You get on superficial things and you don't get to the deep meat of the situation. And then you figure out, oh, well, as we go along, we'll figure it out, or it's going to all work out. And then that's where you end up where we are today. That work has to be done in the beginning. But since we didn't do it, okay, so now we're evolving. So then now we need to do it. And this is what, again, we talk about for the individual, but if you get it for the individual, then you know how to do it in a team, in a couple. We have to, you know, figure these things out. We worked on these things. You did that self-work, so you know what it is, where you're at, and what you need to do. Okay, this is working or this is not. So you know what? I've learned how to be in a relationship. I know how to relate to myself. Okay, we're going to relate to each other. Here we are. What do we need to do? What is it that you want? We're in here. How do you feel about the situation that we're in right now? Okay, everybody expresses themselves and say what it is. Now, like you say, you're supposed to be paying attention all this time and watching this other person and learning their ways and seeing what they're about. So you're picking these things up, and this goes into your memory. It goes into that library, so you know on this person what's going on. All right, okay. Core values. Did my core values change? They shouldn't. Core values is how you operate, who you are. That's it's just your nature. It's who you are. Now,
let me ask you something.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You ever heard of Casanova?
Casanova, the lover?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay.
What you know about him?
Oh, I know. What I recall, he's supposed to be some type of lover and what have you. Now, I haven't been thinking. My mind hasn't been on Casanova, so you have to refresh my memory, update me on that. What about him? You there? Hello?
I'm sorry. Yeah, Casanova. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Okay. I can hear you.
Casanova, right? He was a gigolo.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. And these women worked on themselves, right? They did the same thing that what you were saying, right?
They worked on themselves, you're saying? Okay. That was the story he worked on himself? Say that again?
No, but he got was very successful. No, I'm just being, you know. I'm just adding on. Because the woman, the reason why I said they worked on themselves, because he was dating very successful woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he knew how to give attention to women.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
He tells you, like you said, when you vetting, right? There's a lot of things that when you vetting, same thing with a job interview. They give you 30, they give you 90 days, right? Because they figure within that 90 days, you're going to show some type of signs of whether you are serious or who you said you are, or you can really handle the job, or you just, your resume said one thing, but you really do something else. So with Casanova, he was going around telling these women what they wanted to hear. So he knew women.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He knew how to get over on women. He knew, oh, you're so beautiful. You're so wine and dine them. But he was, mm-hmm. he was a philandering type of man. Promiscuous, a philanderer. And he was someone who, you know, would get women to pay for him and be with him and, you know, give them his money, their money, and all of that. You get what I'm saying? But in the beginning, they didn't know this man was a womanizer. They didn't know that he would exploit them. They didn't know that he will, you know, make them emotionally vulnerable to him. They didn't know that. Okay? So in the beginning, why they didn't know that? Because he vetted them. So he vetted them in a way that that was contrary to what, you know, a man that don't fit their values, principle, morals, and values would do. So he knew how to play the game, in other words, right? So you can vet a person, and this don't a lot of people say that, man and woman, oh, I didn't know they was like that. Because during the dating stages, you're supposed to be on your best behavior. You're supposed to. Matter of fact, the worse the more truthful you are and the worse that you are and you express this to your mate, those relationships, I think, is better than you vetting and trying to be perfect. Because most people don't do that. Most people don't come to a new relationship and saying, listen, I'm full of it. You know, I robbed a bank back in 1980. You know, I broke plenty of women hearts. I got issues. You know, I was in therapy for 5-6 years for beating the heck out of my last woman or two, you know, or my previous relationships. They don't do that. You understand?
Right, but who said anything about perfection when vetting? I didn't say you're looking for perfection.
No, I'm not talking about perfection.
No,
I'm not talking about perfection. I'm just talking about vetting. Because I hear that a lot now. I hear that a lot lately. It's becoming a trend, the vetting process, right? Oh, you know, women and men need to vet. But people need to come to the table for who they are. Matter of fact, bring your worst parts. It needs to be changed. Whoever you are, bring the worst of you to the table. Because now you know what you're working with. It's like a fireman, right? He signed up. How you going to sign up for a job that you know you have potentials of getting shot, killed, or burned? That's the job. And that's why firemen are, you know, like, I think they should be paid one of the top. They should be one of the top paid professions. They know they can die. They, you know, I heard an interview with a fireman, and he said, and a cop too. They don't know if they're going to come home. Same thing with, you know, any dangerous job like that. The fireman said he don't know because he just instantly want to go in to rescue. He don't think, like, you know, in their mind, you're thinking, like, do you think it's stop and think that you can die? You might don't see your family. That don't even dawn on them. They don't even think about that. So maybe we need to change all relationships like that. Oh, and let me give you another one. You ever seen that movie, gosh, what's that with the pilot? He was a fake pilot, and he was doing check frauds or whatever, and the CIA ends up hiring him. He became, you know, a professional criminal, defrauded many people for guess who seen talents in him? The CIA wanted his talents. So he got on their payroll and became, catch me if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
Catch me if you can. He defrauded them. Because they was more amazed that how could you defraud all these people? They consider that as a skill. And sure enough, they hired him. Right? I'm not saying that you should go around defrauding people, but maybe if you just come out and tell everybody the truth about you. But that don't happen during the vetting process most of the time. You know what most of the time happened? Everybody's on their good behavior. They got books on this telling women when you go out to eat, don't eat no big meals. Don't eat a meal, if it's a sloppy meal, basically get a salad, salmon, something that you can manage so you won't make a mess of yourself. You know, these tips. I'm not saying that you shouldn't, but look how relationships is turning now. So maybe we should reconsider, of being honest, brutally honest, and that way a person know what they're really working with. Because some people can hide who they really are for years until and you might see little signs, but you're like, that's nothing major because it's not
That right there, what you said. Not that you didn't know. You did have a sign. You chose to ignore it.
No, but that's How many times do you have a sign? Let me finish.
And whose fault is it when you disobey it, when you don't listen to it, and anything happens?
Might not be as that, because you know how many relationships you would go into if you have every little sign. Like, I'm going to give you an example. Remember that movie that came out with Robert De Niro? He said, if a woman don't open the door for you on your side, lean over and open the door, right, that she's a bad woman. Remember that? Everybody knew about that. So that means that if you take a woman out, right, and she don't open, like, you open the door for her, you slam her door, and when you come around the car, she don't move, lean over to open the door, then that makes her a bad woman. But guess what? We in 2022, right?
Yeah.
We have automatic cars now. You could just click, once one side is open, the other side is open. Is that woman bad? And she might be a fantastic person. She might have her morals in order, decent morals, values, good family home, but she didn't open the door for you? Is that a sign? I mean, it could get
really... That goes back to love language. That goes back to love language, which we said at the top of the thing. But look, first of all, this...
Okay, but listen, okay, but it might be a love language for that person, but like you said, other influences. So if you use that as a standard because you heard someone else say it in a movie, is that really a love language that you use?
But you
got
to be careful of. Who are you listening to, though? That's where we get in trouble.
That's what I'm saying.
Who are you listening to? You got too much outside noises. When you're doing that self-work, and then they ever go to this, well, first of all, back it up to what we were saying before. You got an expression for those who are playing games, whatever, and you don't know who they are. We call it FOSS, shit. Pardon the French, or falsehood, putting up a facade, whatever. Everybody puts up that front, because who wants to be thought of as less than? So we're putting up, everybody wants to be perceived as, I got my stuff together. All of my things together. I got this, and look at how I'm rolling, whatever. But behind the scenes, you know how it is. If you look back, you don't have to look at everybody. Look at your own life. And then guess what? We're not too much different from other people that are out there. And that's what everybody thinks, they're in the vacuum and they're the only ones. They're the only ones that go through this and feel that. No. When you start communicating with people and start talking, yes, you see patterns. You see that there's a lot of common things that's going on that connect us. The bottom line is, you, when you are tapped in, you get yourself in alignment, then you learn to discern. This, what is your purpose? What are your intentions? What are you trying to do? Going back to that, what are you trying to do? This is the thing. What is the purpose of what are your intentions? So the thing is, if I know who I am and I can recognize things in other people, you want to connect whatever, mind, body, and soul, all these connections. When you're doing that self-work, and guess what? You start to see things. You can read people. This is that communication. This is energy. These are frequencies. If you are tapped in and you do that, you can read this. You can see somebody coming from a mile away and say, oh, what? You can see and you can feel it. And then the thing is, no, nobody's going to get a pass on that, because look, if somebody don't say the truth or say what's going on here, we're going to continue doing the nonsense that we're doing now. The thing is, you're not bad people. We just got conditioned and we kind of lost our way and fell off. So now we got to get it together. We have to get it together. You have signs. It didn't happen in a vacuum. You felt something is wrong. Why don't we listen to that? Because we didn't trust it. We didn't do the work. We didn't develop it. So now we don't trust it. So, but when you're getting told directly, this don't feel right. No, it's just my imagination, whatever. If you don't practice listening to that voice and understand and recognize a certain voice that's giving you the guidance, you got to know what's giving you good guidance and what's telling you, leading you astray. That's the work that you got to do. It ain't got nothing to do with nobody else. You got to do that work. Period. End of story. Yes, we were at a disadvantage and we got to a point. But guess what? We got ourselves into it. We managed to, let's put it this way. We found ourselves there. So now we have to get ourselves out of it. You can't do it by yourself. This is why we're communicating. We're talking. We're sharing. If you don't have all the answers, you can talk to somebody that's been through it. But by talking, there are things that have come out and that you can relate to. It resonates in you. So yes, you have to connect with other people. But yes, you got to do that self-work in conjunction. You got to do both. Period. We have become lazy. We are asleep. And then people are saying and doing any things, and we're just, we're docile. We're sitting there and taking it. But the thing is, you got to shake yourself up out of that slumber. You have to do it. Nobody can do that for you. This is what we got to understand. You want this power. You want these things. That means you have to do something. You can't sit up here and look at us, sit back and lay back and wait for somebody else to do it for you. You have to do some work in this. You got to put yourself into this. And like I said, you want to relate to somebody else. And then once you learn how to deal with yourself, you recognize things in yourself, you know how to connect to other things, you can see, you feel things with people. And guess what? Once you believe in yourself and you've done that work on you, it's an ongoing thing. So it's not something that, tomorrow I'm going to get there and that's it. And it's an ongoing thing. But the more you evolve, the more that you understand, the more you connect, and the more that you relate. But you have to do it.
Avon.
And then yes?
Avon, I have a question. I have somebody to ask.
Yeah.
What if you be in a long-term relationship and the other person don't change? How would you answer that?
Wait, what was the last part of it? Say this question again.
You in a long-term relationship and another person don't change. What do you do?
That's a difficult thing. It's in the state that they haven't changed yet, or this is where you're at now, and then you don't know if you can go further. The thing is, revisit, talk to the person. You got to talk, and then as you're talking or as you're communicating, you're gonna get nonverbal, and you're gonna get a whole lot of things that's coming in, and you need to pay attention and listen to that, because there's communication on all levels, and then you're gonna get you. First of all, let's go back even further. You gotta ask. Let's set out your intentions. I need to know what is going on here in this situation. Shall I continue? Where do I need to go? What's happening? Put that out there. Put that question out there. Then you're tapping in, and I describe that. It's like tuning in on a radio station. You tap into what it is that you're trying to do. Link up with that. And then you go forth.
She said that suppose your mate don't communicate back. is not a great communicator. It's not communicating those feelings.
That is a fact sometimes. But are you the stronger communicator? I would say, then you're listening and you have to, the constructive feedback and what have you. So you may have to lead it and carry it, just like you as a coach. You got to know how to ask the right questions or set it up that the person feels comfortable, and then you can suggest certain things to get the response, to get a response. You don't want to get the response that you want to get, a proper response to what it is that you're asking. Sometimes they may not understand what it is that you're talking about. You need, just because you think that you're very clear and you understand what you're talking about, does not mean that they understand what you're talking about. So you're going to have to try different ways. And then you ask them, so what are you not understanding, or where is the confusion, or what is it that you're thinking? And that's the other thing. We have a preconceived notion in our minds what they should be saying and what they're thinking about. But going back to the basics, did you ask what they were thinking? See, now if you gotta always check yourself. Always self-analysis. Are you one that's always telling somebody what it is that they're thinking or how they're moving, whatever? You know how we can get. And so either side. You know what it is, and you be doing this and that, and I know. No, you don't know. Did they say what it is, or are you telling them what you think it is? You got to check yourself in this too. It's not, okay. We're always pointing out, oh, this person, well, they're not understanding, they're not talking. Remember, that when you point that finger out, three fingers are pointing back at you. So now the thing is, it's showing up in your world. So what's going on? Why are you seeing this? Why is this happening? Then you got to ask yourself some questions. What could you possibly be doing? Or are you sure that you're communicating what it is that you're hoping to communicate? Apparently, you are not successful because you're feeling some type of way about this. So you got to do some questions and do some backtracking within yourself. It's not always somebody else. What's going on with you? Why are you feeling this way? Why are you perceiving this in this fashion? It's about you. Whatever is going on, it's about you. Not what somebody else is doing. It's about you. So you got to ask yourself these questions. What's going on here? Or the thing is, because people are a reflection of you, they're showing you aspects of yourself. So if this is the stubbornness or this block that's going on, and you saying you've seen it in them, but remember, they're a reflection of you. So if you're seeing this, so what of that is within you? You got to ask these questions. They're tough, because who wants to say, I am purposely here trying to hurt myself or set myself up for failure, or I'm doing this. You may not do it intentionally, but sometimes we do things without thinking. We may have a thought, these perverted thoughts. You thinking one thing, but something else is going on here. You're getting a different result here. So you got to investigate that. You got to look at you. It's not always them. And then sometimes once you learn discernment after a while, then you say, okay, there might be something, but the thing is, why is it affecting you that way? And then sometimes that's when we find and evolve, that we're not compatible. Not that the person is not a good person or all these other things, but you weren't compatible in the first thing, and you made something happen that may have went on for too long. It was only for a certain period of time. There was supposed to be a lesson gotten, and then you were supposed to move on, but you extended your stay there. These are the real questions and the deeper questions that we have to ask ourselves. We do this surface stuff in here, and it's always somebody else. It's the blame situation and the cancel situation. Everybody wants to blame and cancel. But what is your part in this? Because you got a part in this, because it's coming to you. Ask yourself. And I am not saying that you purposely did something to hurt yourself or whatever, but you got to ask these questions. The thing is, did I ask these hard questions in the beginning? Now I know to ask these things, but did I ask it then? Did I see signs that there was a situation that might not have worked out too well for me way back then? These things didn't just happen. It was built upon. Something happened way back when. And then we miss signs, we miss cues, and then we come to where we are now. So, yeah, that's what the self-work looks like. That's what it sounds like. It looks like it's somebody else, but that self-work is, yeah, but what my part in this, because it is coming to me. It's showing up in my life. This is in my face. What am I supposed to get out of it? Remember, we incarnated back here to learn lessons. We came here to get lessons. And we're not, it's not going to come the way that we think that it's going to come. So we need to get that out of our head. Because, again, I said it all the time. If you knew how this lesson was supposed to come and what you were supposed to get, you most certainly would not have done it. So this is why these things come. It's like, no. You asked when you came here. You had an agreement that you're coming here to learn something. You're going to learn something. You're going to teach something. And then hopefully you get that lesson and then you can ascend and go on to the next step. You evolve to the next step. Sometimes we don't get it and we have to do this a few times before we get it. I would suggest that we try to get this time, so if anything, we don't have to do that particular lesson over again. We can evolve and go on to the next thing. And the thing is, you're not here. Whatever the lesson is not to be a punishment. It's to learn. It's to evolve and go on from there. So I hope I answered that question. Is there any more to it, or you have more questions?
How do you work with a disgruntled boss?
Well, you know that through empathy and, you know, it's empathy and compassion. Because first and foremost, before they're a boss, they're a human being. And then that's, you got to break it down first. First and foremost, well, there's a spirit is having a human experience here. So they're going through this human thing that we go through. So the thing is to step back. So then if you understand how it is, so then you don't let it affect you. So it's, and then if there's a human, you approach them as a human being. I don't understand what's going on here, but is there something that I'm not understanding? You share, ask the questions. You know what the question is for you. This is a purpose. Somebody is doing something to you. You don't think it's fair. It's not right. You don't appreciate it. So you have that discussion. You have that discussion. You ask the questions that you need to get the answers or the results that you need. If you are centered within yourself and responding in a decent manner to have successful communication and interaction, because that is your intention. You got to have intentions. What are you intending to do? You're just doing things. What are your intentions? I want to resolve this and I need peace here. What is going on here? They just be having a day. The thing is, do not be disturbed by these negative or off emotions and actions that's going on here. That first of all, it may not have nothing to do with you. Get ascertain that. What is it? What is going on? Ask them. Don't assume. Ask. And you come into them straight and whatever, and then you can see. Once you ask the questions, the questions that needs to be asked, listen for the answer. And listen with your whole body. And listen with understanding, compassion, and empathy, and you will get what it is that you need to do. But that's being solid and centered within yourself and being tapped in and being in alignment. That's where you need to be, and then you can get the answers that you want. But you have to do that. These are steps that you would do. That's how I would disgruntled boss, a disgruntled baby, a disgruntled mate, a disgruntled self. ask the question, what is going on? What's happening? Why? What's going on? And you keep asking questions and you keep going back and backing into it, and then you'll get your answers and then you'll know how to move from there. But you got to ask these, and you got to tap in. You got to pay attention to what's going on. Don't just, we let things just happen. We're not paying attention. And then we, when we come to, we wake up and find ourselves in a position and we wonder how we got here. We got to pay attention. We got to tune in and pay attention to what it is that we're doing. So I hope I answered that question. If there's, you know, I hope I answered that question. If there's anything else, if you want to ask me more to the question, then I'll go into it more. But I hope I answered that question. Ask the question. Ask. Talk. Communicate. Communicate. You want an understanding. You want an understanding. And remember, relation, that's relating. It's the same process, the same steps, the same elements to communication. It's the same things. You gotta send the message, you got to receive the message. And the successful is if you both accept to be open to this exchange. And then you'll understand and you'll get what it is that you need from it. But it's not a question of, it needs to be a win-win. You don't have to tear somebody down to get your point or have your belief. Let them have it. You're both right. You're both right. So where do you go from there? It's not that you're wrong and my way is the right way and the other way. If you don't go with me, then it's the highway. No, you're both right. So now what's the next step? Where are we going to go from here? What do we want to do? But you have to talk. Everybody, you got a chip on their shoulders and have attitudes and they're hurt and they're mad. That's why you hear all this stuff and this resistance and all that stuff, because it's hurt. And there is love there. You want to be there. You want to connect. But for some reason, you keep missing each other. You need to calm down and focus on why. Ask yourself why. And then you ask the next question. This is self-work. This is self-work with everything. Always asking the questions and getting the answers. Look and receive the answers. Be open to the answers. Sometimes because we're expecting it to come a certain way, then we miss it. You got to be open to say, I'll open my mind and whatever comes in and ask so that I understand it. It resonates within me and I understand it. I receive it and then I can act on it. I can do what it is that I need to do. It'll resonate with you. You got to want it to. You have to be open to that. Do we have any more questions? Or do you have any
thoughts? No more. That's just that. No, that's it. That was the only question that somebody had. Those two questions about a disgruntled board. They didn't say anything since then.
Okay. But then again, listeners, the topic of the show is what are you talking about and who are you talking to? Learning to communicate in an effective way that our messages are received and accepted. So our call-in number, again, is 515-605-9322. Again, that's 515-605-9322. So, Sister Angela, do you have any more thoughts or on the topic at hand or things that you want to share? Because we listen to the Manosphere and then we listen to what do they call the women's side? The women's sphere, what do we call our situation?
I think it's the women's sphere. I really don't. I mean, it's you know, I agree with the tapping in and stuff like that you mentioned. It's just that, you know, like I always say, relationships is not that easy because you have to still interact and you still have to know about other people. And one of the things I would say is to know, men should know about women in general and women should know about men in general, because there's general habits. You know, like you mentioned earlier, we're not too far away from, too far apart from each other. You know, we share certain goals and dreams and have different, you know, same habits. Some of, you know, so it's not like you're going to meet somebody that's really extraordinary like that, or really extreme that you've never seen or don't encounter. You know, very seldom that will happen. So basically people, you know, women do certain things, women like certain things, and there's men that like certain things. And that guy mentioned that in the book, Women Are for Mars and Men Are for Mars and Women Are for Venus. So we should learn about, you know, each other's, you know, genders and basic ideologies. And, you know, one thing is that sometimes men don't communicate because men think of communication different. You know, your boyfriend or your husband might not be communicating because and it might have nothing to do with you. This is why self-work, you should do, like I said, constantly. But what about if you have a man? You know, men think about power, money, and respect. Both men. You know, that's a characteristic of a man. Like, you know, a characteristic of different dog breeds, you know. I'm sharing a family dog. He's a Shih Tzu. And I'm reading about him and coming to find out them dogs is clingy, you know. And I was like, oh, my God, you know. But I'm like, yeah, because, you know, my cousin, she didn't read up about the dog. She just bought a dog. You know, they real cute. They like a status quo dog. So it's for dog, you know, for people who, you know, have a status. And so there's certain characteristic about that particular dog, right? Mm-hmm. And if you get a Rottweiler, I like Rottweilers, right? I like those dogs because they're more protective dogs and they're good around children, but they don't need that much attention. So we have this Shih Tzu, right? And he's a mixed dog. That's why it's called Shih Tzu. And, you know, he's 5 months. He's a 5 month pup. Really cute, right? But the dog needs so much attention to the point that we don't like leaving him in the house. So she brings him over to me. If I'm doing something, she takes care of him. The difference is I have children in the house. She don't. So it's just two adults in her house, me, the children. So that he loves coming over here. And so it's just to go to show you that he needs a lot of attention. You know, sometimes I take him shopping. She takes him shopping with him. So it's a lot. So what I'm saying this for is same thing with men and women. There's certain characteristics. Now, men might not want to communicate. You know, like the caller asks, you know, what about their husband or boyfriend don't want to communicate? It might because he's not happy financially. So you coming up with all these mushy problems and, oh, you don't communicate. You don't love me. You know, it's not even that. He's not even feeling himself right now. You know what I'm saying? You worked on yourself, but he's not there. He don't feel needed. He don't feel, well, he's not where he's at. Men go through that. But if you don't know that in general about men, you will miss that point. Men need to feel needed, right? That's what they would say generally. Someone just in terms of generalizing it, okay? And so if we know about each other just gender in terms of heterosexual or whatever relationship you are in, I'm speaking from a heterosexual point of view, then you can kind of understand various point of views of basic behavior or thinking or habit. You know, so your man might not, you know, if he's not working and he's sad and depressed because he feels he's not providing, that's going to take a toll on him. And then remember, you know, men are taught to be providers and protectors. You know, men like to feel needed. You know, there's a couple of things that men like. They like to feel needed. They job. Excuse me?
No, I'm saying you're right. But what you said before, with that, guess what? That John Gray book and what's the girl? Sylvia DeAngelis, the woman that the doctor had the female side of the book. The bottom line is what they're saying, the They may use different language, but basically they're the same. They want the same thing. They go about it, approach it differently. So we have that there. And like I said, as far as conversation, as we talk about roles, yes, we're taught separately. There we go, that the compartmentalization. Yes, the men teach the men and the women teach the women. But then the thing is that connection. You have to put those two together. We know what it is separate and apart, but we're not taught and shown what it looks like when it comes together. And that's what we have to work on. And then how women... And this is the answer.
So how does that look, Avon? When they come together and successful?
I'm going to tell you. Part of it is back to the answer to a question that was asked earlier before when the woman, if the husband doesn't communicate. You have this as well. When you know the roles and the gender, women should be an inspiration to their husband. They don't know how to. So you can inspire using your womanly ways, the charm, the assets, the attributes of a woman. The woman is a teacher as well. Men teach as they have their way of teaching too, but women are teachers. You can help teach and show them any type of learning from anybody. Sometimes you have to model it. Some people are auditory when they're hearing it. Some people, the visuals, when they see this. And sometimes it's a combination of both. But in all, the best teaching is also to model it. And that's what we talk about, that what does that look like? You have to show what it looks like. Give an example by doing it. You do it in a certain way. We have to learn how to finesse things, both sides. Not to trick. I'm not talking about trickery and manipulating people, but to finesse something. All right, I'm going to do this because we want to get this result. So you're showing ways and putting people in the position so that they can see, so that they can be open to it. You have to do it. Sometimes you're modeling it just by talking or the way that you talk, or give situations where there can be success in whatever it is that you're intending to do. You know what I'm saying? Well, sweetie, I was just thinking, you talk in a way, but see, the conversation, nobody wants to sit up all the time and hear about your problems and this and that and oh, well, me, like, both sides can do it. We're like, oh, and this ahead of, but in a way that to inspire. So how was your day? What's going on? And, you know, let them speak. And then you don't have to tell them what it is. Let them speak. And then you ask them. You know, as a coach, one of the ways, the techniques is you ask the questions and let folks discover the answer for themselves. Put it in a position so you mirror it back and put it up back to them and ask them the question. All right. So what do you think? What would that look like to you? What is it that you see in your mind? Ask these questions. Ask the different ways. A lot of the ways is you get the answers from what it is that, how you might want to do it. You know what I'm saying? Some of the questions that you want, you know, they might want to ask those questions too. So you provide that space for that to happen. Create to open up that dialogue. So with any situation, somebody has to feel comfortable. They don't need to be under attack. And because when you first start that, it's like, oh, how could you? Both sides do that. It's like, that's that diminishing and turned out, like, why would you say something stupid like that? Where are you coming up with that? Nobody paid. This is how it happened. You have to learn how to curb your tongue. And the power of life and death is in the tongue. You watch what you say. Don't be just having diarrhea of the mouth or saying anything, because what you say out there either can bring something to life or it can kill it. These are things that you have to be aware of within yourself. And then once you start practicing, you'll be surprised. Just energetic-wise, you will attract that. When you're on a certain frequency, you pick up everything that's on that frequency. So you need to be on that frequency, and then they are used to being in that, and they will pick up what's going on in that frequency. So sometimes it's not even direct waves. It could be indirect waves. But the thing is self. You do it, and then you can attract that. You get on that page, and then those around you will get on, can get on that page as well if they're open to it. But a lot of that is self. It's self dealing with you. It deals with you. So, Miss Angela, do you have any closing thoughts on the subject or anything that you want to say to our listening audience before we go?
Just in terms of communication, just basically, like you said, work on yourself. And for relationships, seek professional help, mediators in terms of therapists, seasoned therapists, seasoned married therapists, because you got a lot of relationship coaches out here. And even though I'm a coach, I'm not a relationship coach, and I don't want to be one because of that. I think that, all this advice that's going around is hindering us as male and female. So in terms of relationships, intimate relationships, seek professional help. And same thing with the workplace, look at things from your boss's perspective, because there's a difference between being a boss or a manager than it is an employee. You never know until you are in that situation. A lot of people, entrepreneurs, they start a business thinking they're going to run away from a boss. Then they become a boss, and then they employees or people that work with them don't like them. So, and then they realize they're taking on all the, pressure of being a boss, and they might not like that. So my closing statement is just always educating yourself, Like what you are, you good with tapping in. Some people are good with tapping in, so they just need to use that. Others need to, be others need to be more intuitive, if you can tap in, then you can't, you can't tap in. If you can't tap in, then you need to find other means of communicating, reading books, educating yourself. I'm sorry, I lost my thought. Educating yourself and getting more information about the topic in hand. Like I said I used an example earlier in the show about me and my son. I had to learn how to observe, come up with solutions to the to the challenges that he had. So yeah, that's my closing.
Exactly, and that was a good thing. Yes, educate yourself. Look out. There's information all around us. Get a hold of it, and then as you're learning and expanding your knowledge base, then you can discern, and it leads you to absolutely. And so, again, tonight our topic was, what are you talking about and who are you talking to? Learning about effective communication. And before I say goodnight, I just want to say, it's not only what you say, but how you say it and your intentions behind it. One.